Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation with Dr. Ron DeHaven, Administrator of the USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. And joining us in our conversation is Mike Wasson. Well, Dr. DeHaven, in recent years, the scope of APHIS's protection function has expanded beyond pest and disease management. APHIS has assumed greater roles in the global agricultural arena. What management challenges has this presented for the leadership of APHIS?
Paul, thank you for the question, and we're realizing more since 9/11 than ever before that our first line of defense, speaking from an agricultural perspective, is not at our ports and borders, but rather overseas. We don't want to wait until potentially harmful diseases, agricultural diseases or pests are at our borders to exclude them, but rather have people offshore who realize and are our eyes and ears in terms of what threats are out there, and keeping those kinds of things from ever entering our ports and borders. That's our first line of defense, is offshore. But APHIS is always walking a tightrope in terms of safeguarding American agriculture, but also facilitating trade. Agricultural trade is critical to the economy of our country, so our role is to ensure that those products that we import from abroad, as well as our agricultural exports, are safe and don't represent any risk to our trading partners. As we enter into more and more trade agreements with our trading partners, where historically trade has been restricted by quotas and tariffs, now what's becoming a limiting factor is what we call the sanitary phytosanitary issues, those issues that represent potential health and pest risks. And so APHIS is becoming front and center in terms of it's those technical issues. The issues that are involved in safeguarding American agriculture are the same ones that are limiting trade. So there is increasingly more and more emphasis and pressure on APHIS to resolve those technical barriers so that trade can continue unrestricted, but doing so in such a way that we don't jeopardize the health and safety of agriculture in the United States.
Well, Dr. DeHaven, in the last segment, we have learned that APHIS has worked with many different agencies to develop informational websites and protecting U.S. agriculture. Are there any lessons learned and advice you would have give on working and managing interagency?
I think there's one overriding thing, and that is that the administration, our Congress, and probably more importantly, the public expect there to be interagency cooperation. They're not really concerned with whether there are two or three or four agencies that are involved in some area of oversight. They want to make sure that government agencies that have a role are working together and that there's a coordinated approach. I was talking a minute ago about trade issues, and so APHIS has a critical role in facilitating trade to the extent that there are technical issues to make sure that we don't unintentionally export or import disease or pests. But to do that, we work very closely with the Foreign Agricultural Service, an agency within USDA, in establishing those trade policies and working with our trading partners around the world. I think the BSE or mad cow situation is an excellent example of the need for interagency coordination. APHIS has a role in terms of surveillance of our live animal population. Food Safety Inspection Service, another agency within USDA, has a responsibility to ensure that the food produced from those animals is safe and wholesome. And our colleagues in FDA have some responsibility as relates to animal feed, as well as cosmetics and other products that would be made from those animal products. The public, the department, indeed the Congress, expect us to work very closely together in dealing with those issues that cross agency boundaries.
Well, early in 2001, APHIS launched an e-gov initiative that streamlined its permit process and application online. What are some of the challenges with this launch?
In the context, Mike, of ensuring that we are user-friendly to our public, we want to provide the option for that public to request our services either through the traditional paper methods or electronically. For example, both our Plant Protection Quarantine and Veterinary Services units have a permit process where one can apply for a permit that would allow for the movement of otherwise restricted materials into or out of the United States. Our Biotechnology Regulatory Services Unit also receives requests for permits for permitting the use or testing, field testing of potential biotechnology products. The challenge for us was to develop one coordinated system that met the needs of all of these different purposes and do so in a way that is user-friendly and not create three separate systems. So we have that traditional bureaucratic issue of getting the funding, getting approval for the system that we're developing, selecting a contractor, and then working closely with that contractor. But all of those things are coming together, and we would hope to pilot a project for this permitting system early next year.
Are there any other eGov initiatives on the way within APHIS?
Actually, there are several that we have underway, and our intent is to provide an electronic mechanism of any interaction that we would have with our public. Another example is that we license and register facilities under the Animal Welfare Act. This is primarily facilities that are involved in research or exhibition or the commercial sale of animals, and those types of facilities need to be either licensed or registered with us under the Animal Welfare Act. So rather than, here again, submitting a paper application for that kind of license or registration, we're developing a system to do that all electronically.
This naturally leads into a discussion of the President's management agenda. And could you tell us about APHIS's plans of action to implement the agenda? For example, one area of interest is the integration of performance and budget information.
Our mission goals in APHIS, Paul, are safeguarding American agriculture and facilitating trade. And as I've alluded to, those two goals can be a little bit of a conundrum in terms of competing interests, in terms of safeguarding agriculture, but at the same time facilitating trade, and in doing so, potentially running the risk of accidental introduction of pest or disease. So having said that, our pest and disease programs very readily lend themselves to a cost-benefit analysis. What's the program going to cost? What's the potential export or market that might be out there? Or what is the value of that commodity to our own economy? And then doing a cost-benefit. Is the cost of that program going to yield potential benefits that will exceed those costs? Here again, we also know that by instituting various plant and animal disease programs, we can improve our export markets. We can improve the exportability, if you will, of certain markets. And so is that potential market from a cost-benefit analysis greater than what the cost would be of implementing some of our programs? APHIS has actually scored very high within the department on the OMB process to review program assessment, if you will, where we have scored high in terms of the value of our programs versus the return on that investment.
How is APHIS making the adjustments on the move of its port of entry inspectors to Department of Homeland Security?
We've gone through a very difficult transition. It was in March of last year that we transferred somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,600 agricultural quarantine inspectors to the new Department of Homeland Security. These 2,600 inspectors are the people at our ports and borders whose job it is to ensure that we don't inadvertently allow into the country prohibited products that might also harbor plant diseases or animal diseases. So it's been somewhat of a difficult transition for us to lose those inspectors while at the same time ensuring that they continue to have a very active role in performing that agricultural mission at our ports and borders. We found newfound friends with our colleagues in the Custom and Border Protection, one of the major units within the Department of Homeland Security. And we think that through the creation of this new department and overseeing all of the inspection activities at the ports and borders, not just agricultural, but customs inspections and immigration inspections, that there is ample opportunity for improvement. And at the end of the day, having a far better system. Our role is to continue to provide the policy and training for those inspectors at the ports and border, making sure that the agricultural mission remains very high on their priority list. And in order to do that, we've had a couple of initiatives underway. We're working with our colleagues at DHS to have a quality assurance program to ensure that that inspection is happening as it should, but also that we've got good communication. Current issues, is there a new outbreak or a new situation that would cause us to send an alert to the ports and borders to be on the lookout for a particular commodity or disease that might be presenting itself? Changes in policy, and we continue to, again, provide the training for the agricultural inspectors, including the new agricultural specialists within the Department of Homeland Security. So we're developing a newfound friendship and relationship with our colleagues at DHS, and again, I think at the end of the day, there's a potential to have a much more effective system.
That's interesting, especially all the technology described that underpinned the programs. With all the technology being used at APHIS, how are skilled IT professionals being recruited and retained? We'll ask Dr. Ron DeHaven of APHIS to tell us about this when the Business of Government Hour returns.